Heroes. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that
we
do?
We give the people what they want.
Fred VanVleet put up 54 points. We have Jared Allen joining us later in the show. But we start with what could be an NBA Finals preview. I don't know. It is the Clippers visiting the Nets in Brooklyn. And we start with Kyrie Irving.
Shame
big
on
buckets
you.
Down
when
the stretch. Finished
too.
Up with 39 points. Jalen, is this the Nets that we all wanted to see?
Brooklyn, so yes. And when I get confused, I respect everything that's happening in the East, and I can't wait to see the playoffs. Joel Embiid has been outstanding. You know how much I love Tatum and Brown. But Kevin Durant is winning the East. And let's put some respect on Kyrie's name offensively. So many times when you're a public figure, people take your personality and equate that to your performance. When you watch him solely play basketball, it's as good as it get offensively, dog. He got all of the requisite skills. One-on-one, from the three, catch and shoot, in the post, turns over both shoulders. Like, he a dynamic offensive player. And then to see James Harden playmaking ability is effortless. James Harden seemed like he walking more now than he did when he was with the Rockets. He like, all right. He can do this for 50 more years. It reminds me when Kareem was older playing with the Lakers and they were Showtime and he didn't have to cross half court sometime. But when he did, they gave him the ball. That's what Harden doing, flirting with triple doubles on a nightly basis.
I did notice on a couple possessions, Kyrie would just he looks like he's screwing in a light bulb sometimes. He's just twisting it this way and twisting it that way and going off the right foot and the left foot. And on a couple of those possessions, James Harden literally didn't get over half court. He just passed it to Kyrie and then watched him do his thing. And James Harden had something interesting to say contrasting his time with the Nets versus his time when he was with the Rockets. Let's listen to the beard.
Scoring isn't everything, you know, so I try to impact the game in other ways. I try to, you know, obviously Kevin and Kai, get them, you know, easier looks when they can. It's not about points for me. It's not about stats for me. It's about getting a win. And you know, I think since I've been here, I've tried to do whatever it takes in order for us to have a win. And that's all that matters.
How do you think he really feels about his time and his game with the Nets versus when he was with the Rockets?
Well, this game will humble you, Jacoby, and though he has so many amazing individual accolades with the Rockets and MVPs and scoring titles, he hasn't won a championship, and he's playing with two guys that have. And since he has not only played with KD prior, but they have a friendship and a kinship, he's now willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes to get Joe Harris shots, to make sure Kyrie feels good about his offensive game. Feed Jeff Green when he's slashing to the bucket. I appreciate the maturation of his game. One of the things they're gonna have to do, however, is be able to get timely stops. That's the one thing when I'm watching the Nets play, they allow teams one dribble drive, you can get a layup against them. They're not really rotating and helping too much. So that's the one thing that they're gonna have to improve, in particular in tight game situations.
And we saw a little bit of that last night. There's one possession, Kawhi was trying to back down Harden and Harden was giving him trouble and Kyrie was staying in front of Lou Will. Like, they got a couple stops with some defensive efforts in the fourth quarter. We'll see if they can continue that because obviously defense is what they need to work on. But you were watching this game, Jalen. You were using your astute experience and wisdom and analysis and you found a fatal flaw on the Clippers. What is that?
And you know how much I love Kawhi the Claw since San Diego State. Been big up in him and great to see everything he's accomplished and Paul George as well. But when I look really deeper into the Clippers, and you know my favorite team of all time in sports is the Pistons, I see two former members of their team in their backcourt, Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard. And Lou Will ain't giving them the sixth man of the year type numbers and bounce anymore. Patrick Beverley, who was out with an injury, is probably the second or third lowest scoring starting point guard in the entire NBA. So when you look at the landscape of the Western Conference and all of these teams and have these dynamic players in their backcourt like Murray and Donovan Mitchell and Dame Lillard and Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, it goes on and on and on in the West. This may be the actual Achilles heel for the Clippers once the playoffs come.
Well, one team that had no trouble getting production from their backcourt last night is the Toronto Raptors. They went up against the Magic, and undrafted Fred VanVleet went off for 54 points, 11 for 14 from three. Jalen, what do you think about this young man's performance last night?
That's one of my guys. I like to see people who get it from the mud undrafted and then all of a sudden get the largest contract guaranteed of any player that wasn't drafted. Just think about that. Kyle Lowry and he, by the way, Lowry had a triple-double. When we talk about the top backcourts in the league, people just overlook them. They only won the championship a couple of years ago. That's all. They just won the championship a couple of years ago. Great to see my guy putting in work. And he keep a fresh cut. He keep a fresh cut.
I love that you love him because he got it from the mud and he was undrafted and he's your guy. And then the real reason he's your guy, because he got a nice hairline. Let's be honest. That's the first thing that you notice about his game. I'm glad you mentioned the championship because we'll always remember Kawhi bringing this championship to Toronto. But Game 6 and Game 7, it was Fred VanVleet hitting huge shots for that team to finally take out the Warriors. Now, Jalen, it's a very interesting game that involved those Warriors last night. The Warriors jumped out to an early lead against the Celtics but could not hold on. Too much Tatum and Brown. What do you think about this dynamic duo from Beantown?
Well, they're the East Coast version of Kawhi and PG. And just to watch both of these guys ascend, they should both be all NBA performers this year, Jacoby. And I'm really happy for Jaylen Brown in particular, because we knew he was going to compete defensively and guard multiple positions, but how he's improved his offense and his three-point shooting and his ability to get shots off the dribble and in the clutch has been great for a young player. They're going to be so very special for a long time.
Yes, Jaylen Brown ascension has just been consistent, up. Now, I was watching this game, and I'm thinking, you got Kemba, Tatum, Brown. But where else are they going to get it? Is it going to come from Thompson? Is it going to come from Tice? Is it going to come from Teague? Is it going to come from Grant Williams, Robert Williams? Like, that's one of the things when I look at the teams in the East, I'm looking at a huge drop-off after those three players on this roster. You think that could hurt them come a series in the playoffs?
Well, yes is the answer to that question. And that's what's going to make the Eastern Conference playoffs so great, because each team has its flaws. You have the Bucks and Giannis, but is he going to make shots from the free throw line and the three-point line late? Are the Celtics going to get some productivity from the five spot? How are the Sixers going to navigate late game situations with Ben Simmons not necessarily making shots outside of the paint? So there's going to be questions all over. And so that's going to create that intrigue. And for the Nets, are their lack of defensive tenacity going to get in the way of their terrific offensive prowess? So it's going to be interesting to see. But Marcus Smart, to me, he's always been the guy that changes the dynamic for the Celtics. They're going to need him to be a key player, Jacoby, making shots, locking down defensively. And he's actually their best passer.
Yes, he wasn't in the game last night, but we have some news that matters. Jalen, as the Super Bowl is approaching, there was a study that was done. And if you think about this, it sounds like a small number, but it's actually a huge number of people. Out of every 100 people watching the Super Bowl, 6% will be watching naked. Jalen, 6 out of every 100 people you have in your phone will be watching the Super Bowl naked. Do you know what this information told me? I'm watching naked this year. Why wear clothes? If we can't see anybody, we can't have a party, I am watching the Super Bowl naked this year.
During COVID and the pandemic and everybody working from home, absolutely. No question about it. Naked this year, eating popcorn. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that you don't call the wrong person. Why are you naked
Don't FaceTime me during the Super Bowl.
Throw a deep
pass. I ain't wearing any clothes for the Super Bowl. I'm part of the 6% and I am proud. Coming up next on the show, we will be joined by Jared Allen, who will give us some really interesting insight is what's going to happen this Sunday in the Super Bowl. Make sure you stay tuned for that. You are watching Jalen.
Hey, Jerry, don't be sacking my Detroit Lions. What you doing?
Lift every voice and sing.
A seven-time Pro Bowler with the Eagles, Reggie White, a.k.a. the Minister of Defense, is second all-time in career sacks. He was also an ordained minister and philanthropist, but it was his impact in a 1992 lawsuit that forced the NFL to accept unrestricted free agency and changed the current landscape for NFL players.
Coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck here on Pier 17. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen joining us on the program right now is one of the best to ever do it. Disruptor, always in the backfield. You see him right there, number 69, wearing the Chiefs uniform. Jared Allen joins us on Jalen and Jacoby. Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Now, there's so much focus on Mahomes versus Brady and all the weapons on offense, but heading into the game this Sunday, which defense do you think will have a bigger impact on the game and why?
Oh, my goodness. I think if you just look at the players, like I think Tampa has the better defense overall, but I guess it just depends on situation. This game is going to be so situational, right? So I think if it's whatever defense can put the other offense in third and long situations. So, and that Chiefs defense is streaky. They're back in. So I'd have to this way. I'd probably give the advantage to Tampa Bay up front and give the advantage to the back end to the Chiefs. So I think the Buccaneers defense is going to have a better advantage just basically based off the injuries of the O-line of the Chiefs. Whether they can, equate that into being successful and get in the right situations, we'll see. But it's gonna be a fun game to watch. I think, you know, each defense has a totally different set of challenges. That's why it's kind of hard to pick which one's gonna be better off.
That's where I was going. So if you were running the Bucs, what would you do to try to slow down Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Extend everybody. I'd make sure. Double Tyreek, put a safety down on Kelsey, and then send everybody else after Mahomes. If they beat you with somebody else, it is what it is. I don't believe in playing passively, and you got to let your front guys get after him. You know, yeah, you got to rush in some sort of way to try to contain him, but he's good outside the pocket. He's good inside the pocket. So, you know what? Shoot your gun, die on your shield, let it all hang out, and see where the chips lie.
I like that philosophy. Mahomes was numerically worst against a cover zero, but there's something just so terrifying about sending everybody and allowing him to throw the ball. Now, on the other side of the ball, we have Tom Brady, who's going to be under center for the Bucs, and he's said he wants to play until 45 and then said maybe he'll play past 45. Could you see him under center in the NFL in the second half of his 40s?
Oh, gosh. If I'm Tom Brady and I win this game, I would take everything off and just – be done.
Stand the yard line,
just throw it on the floor and just see him. I mean, if he does this, there's literally nothing else he can do. He just left the team he was at for 20 years, comes to a completely different division, wins the NFC title game now, and if he wins a Super Bowl, you're done. There's literally no more you can do.
Michael Jordan, when he did the crossover at Utah and made the game-winning shot, that should have been the end. He should have never played for the Wizards. He should have just been in ownership. If Tom Brady wins his first year with the Bucs, do not play again. They're not going back to back. It ain't going to happen. If you do it this year, that's got to be it. So who do you have winning this weekend's Super Bowl and why?
So I'm torn because of my history with the Chiefs, right? And it's such a great franchise and what they're going to keep accomplishing. They're going to have plenty more opportunities. But we are literally watching history in the making. Like you said, like here's an opportunity for a guy in his 40s to take, you know, a team to the first home Super Bowl. And so I want to see him win it. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to, but I'm rooting for the Bucs to kind of win this just because I want to see history made. And I don't know that in my lifetime, again, we'll see something like this. So it's a special moment, I think, for the history of the game. I'm rooting for the Bucs, but, you know, if the Chiefs win, I'm not going to be sad either. So I'm in the middle, but I do think history should win. And I think Brady knows that. And when you got that kind of, I don't know, it just seems like it's his year. So it's hard to root against that guy.
So, Jared, I share this screen with two people that are well known, not just for their athletic achievements, but also their hair. You with the mullet and Jalen with the shape up. So my question for you is this, Jared, is do you think Jalen should try to join the mullet mafia and rock a mullet?
No. Everybody should do it. It'll change your life. I mean, I'm not saying it'll change it for the better, but it'll change it somehow. You get this going. Dude, I bet you had the high top fade back in the 80s with a little neck music. Yeah, look at that. Oh, it's beautiful.
But see, the problem is the top of my hair doesn't style. And when I cut off my sides, it takes forever to grow back. I would love to have a mullet. I'm just scared I'm almost 50 and my hair won't grow back on the sides.
Oh. It's tough. That is a true thing. Like, once you cut it, sometimes it stays gone.
So you and I also has another thing. You and I also have something else in common. I noticed you post a lot of yourself cooking and grilling in particular. So talk to me about your cooking skills.
So I do everything outside the house. My wife takes care of most everything in the kitchen. So, I like good food. So we cook a lot in our house. We eat well. I like smoking, ribs, briskets, all that stuff. Recently just got a pressure cooker and figured out how to use the pressure cooker. And that's a game changer. That is a game changer right there. So, you can do carnitas in like an hour versus like a 10 hour stint. But that was probably my pride and joy right there. My wife challenged me to make a double chocolate cake for her birthday. Crushed it.
Yeah, you did.
I've never seen you on the football field with that focused look on your face as you had icing that cake. Like, I think that might be the most effort you've ever put towards anything.
You got to focus in. I didn't want to mess it up. And then I took like 5 hours making like a strawberry... like a little strawberry heart. I wasted like 12 strawberries trying to figure out how to make some strawberry rose or something like that. YouTube is a wonderful thing.
Well, tell us about your partnership with Volvo and Safety Sunday.
So, I have the record in the NFL for safety. So I teamed up with Volvo. They contacted me about, joining up with this safety campaign. And so with Volvo being one of the safest cars ever made, we teamed up to give away $2 million worth of cars if there was a safety on Sunday, right? And so they did it last year, and they did a $1 million deal. And the cool part about it is, and I learned this, now go back, talk about the hair. In high school, I drove a 1987 Volvo station wagon. So.
Oh, you was getting it. You was getting it. You was getting it. I remember those days. You was like, special ed, I got it made.
It was the hand-me-down for my stepdad. My stepdad hooked me up with it. It was either that or the motorcycle. I made a good life decision, chose the Volvo. I'm still here today. So yeah, we teamed up. But the cool part about it is like the $2 million isn't just this like ad deal. So Volvo invented the three-point safety belt, right? So they say they were credited last year with saving up to 1 million lives with the seatbelt. And so the additional $1 million worth of cars they want to give away represents the additional million lives they want to sell through innovation technology of the Volvo. So it's a cool deal. And so we teamed up and I figured, it's also a cool way to start 2021. Let's get a safety. Let's just give a whole bunch of cars away. 2020 kind of sucks. So let's just make it special. Throw some confetti up in the air and all that good stuff.
Well, have a good time Sunday cooking for your meal before the Super Bowl. Enjoy the Super Bowl. You're welcome to come back on Jalen Jacoby anytime.
We appreciate the love.
And anytime. Appreciate it, guys.
We will be back right after this, and Jalen's going to tell you about what's really going to happen in Atlanta if they go through with this NBA All-Star game. Doubleheader tonight, starting the Eastern Conference at 7 p.m. It is the Pacers taking on the Bucks, and then in the nightcap, it is the Suns going up against the Pelicans and Zion. That one's at 9:30. Both of those are on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have a topic that involves all of your favorite interests, and that is NBA basketball, chicken wings, and gentlemen's clubs. We have the perfect topic for you, Jalen Rose, and it is because the NBA is planning on having a truncated NBA All-Star event in Atlanta. Jalen, do you think that perhaps some COVID violations could occur if this was to happen?
I am here for this, Jacoby, and don't be surprised those days I'll be doing the show from there, and I'll encourage each of the players and all of the fans to support essential businesses like Magic City, Onyx, Cheetah, Blue Flame. It's a must that it happen. Pink Pony, absolutely. Make sure you wear a mask, you socially distance, but enjoy NBA All-Star.
I think I just got COVID from listening to you list all of those. Honestly. Please, all NBA players, stay safe in Atlanta. We need to see you on the court so we can talk about you the next day. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Support
on ESPN.
Essential businesses. You got to give the people.
So, we always go podcast exclusive after we tape the TV portion, and we finish the TV portion by talking about gentlemen's clubs in Atlanta, and I'd never heard of Blue Flame. And then Jalen Rose makes an announcement. What was that?
That Blue Flame wings are better than Magic City.
Okay, now, I'm not going to get into the gentlemen's club aspect of this because I have to feed my family, all right? But I do want to ask you this. What quality do you look for when you look at wings? Like, if you're going to say that Blue Flame has better wings than Magic City, controversial statement, like, what are you looking for? What is the checklist? What do you judge on?
First and foremost, one's an A and one's just an A+.
Okay.
So you can't go wrong either way. I don't even want this conversation to sound like it's a fork in the road. No, they on the same block going in the same direction, and they probably come from the same supplier.
Even. Well put.
You know what I'm saying? However, Magic has become more mainstream like McDonald's. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. And it's more of a... offending. You got to take that back. You can't compare Magic City to McDonald's.
I'm talking about four strip clubs.
They become Drake. They're like the popular one that everybody knows about.
Correct.
Whereas Blue Flame is like Griselda.
Correct.
There you go.
Yes. There you go. Well said. Correct. And when we met at Strokers, they used to have a fire kitchen. We got a fire kitchen. But who got the best kitchen? Oh, man, I don't really. GC.
I want to know. So
right by Atlantic Station.
I don't think that you're the appropriate judger of wing quality. I don't think you're an appropriate judger of wing quality. I really don't. And I know this is important to you. Listen, I'm telling the truth. I've seen you order wings. I've seen you order wings 300 times.
How many? How many human beings have ever cooked food at their house and brought it to you at work personally?
Well, I mean, first of all, like I'm taking like cookies or like cake out of it because people do that all the time. But actual food, like not dessert, probably one in the world.
Okay. If somebody's going to do that, they know what they're doing.
I know what you're doing, but Jalen,
I've
seen you order. Let me first start with a compliment, just to butter you up a little bit. One thing I love that you do when you order wings is you don't like. I'll just be like buffalo hot flats only, please, right? And then what you do is you like to look at all the different sauces and selections and order lots of them. So you have different wings to taste from. However, you have a fatal flaw when it comes to objective judging of wings. You don't like wings to be sauced. And I feel like that's part of the experience. So if you're going to say this one's better than that one, how are we going to make this determination when you're not eating wings like the rest of us eat wings?
I believe it's cultural in a lot of ways, but most people do this. Put seasoning or sauce on their food before they even taste it. Just think about that. So in other words, if I'm sitting down, if I have lemon pepper wings, Louisiana rub, barbecue wings, They all the same if I'm just slapping ranch on it without even tasting them. So you can't be the actual judge. When I don't want sauce on it, it forces you to actually make sure that each of them cooked. When people can drown your food in sauce, that's why some of them be cold every now and then. That's why some of them be more well done than the other ones. Like, I'm massaging each one. Like digits on your hand, like your fingers. It's like when I'm in the shower, dog, when I'm putting lotion on, I'm doing my baby toe to my big toe every time. That's what's happening with the wings, dog. You gotta treat them special. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at each one. I'm taking out the ones that get done faster. I'm moving them around. Like, it's a real thing. And so when I go to Magic City, Blue Flame, Wingstop, Hooters, wherever I order wings, the breading also is something I pay attention to. Because certain places that don't have breading on them, like, I don't even eat those wings. I'm dismissing those.
Oh, see, I disagree. I don't like too much. I don't like my wing to be wearing like a puffy coat. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like too much breading.
It don't have to be, there you go. It don't have to be too much. And what you just said is the difference between the better wings or not. When it's too puffy, that's too soggy, it's too soft.
Mm-hmm.
Those been cooked, mass produced. It's like, oh, we got 100 orders of these. So those are done 30 minutes. Yeah, those are done 5 hours ago. They just put them in the microwave when you order them. That's another thing I pay attention to is did these wings just come out of the freezer?
Mm.
And so I'm an excellent judge of wings, and you know what we should do? We should take this show on a wing excursion.
We really should.
You know what I mean?
We're getting out the studio once we get vaccinated.
Did you say vaccinated? Hit the brakes, Reg.
Yes.
Hit the brakes, Reg. What'd you say about getting vaccinated?
I'm getting vaccinated as soon as possible.
Oh. So I was just having this talk with my uncle, my namesake, who listens to the pod every day. He was disappointed last week. He said one of our pods was 11 minutes. He was disappointed last week. I was talking to him. True story.
I can't imagine why we put out an 11-minute pod.
I was talking to him about the vaccination. He's in his 80s.
He's eligible. Get it right now.
He pointed out a really good thing that a lot of people consider when a new vaccination or anything happens. And he used the auto industry as an example. He was like, I worked at the plant for over 30 years. So did your granddaddy. So did your uncle. And your mom worked at Chrysler for over 20 years. And you know what always happens? There are recalls for vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with vaccinations. I know you feel like 100% of people are going to get vaccinated when they get those two shots in the arm, but 24% of those people are dealing with issues.
That's not the actual math. So, you know, let's not. Your tweet would have just came with one of those notifications. You're like, that's not true. You would have just got hit with one of those. Like, that's not true. Not the fact. Now you're misinforming the people, Jalen Anthony Rose.
What percentage? And I could Google it right now. Like, I think there are two different. Here's two different things that you can enlighten me on. And by the way, okay, I am encouraging everyone to get it. Like, I'm going to consider getting it, but I'm not necessarily eligible yet.
He said consider. He said I encourage everyone to get it.
You should definitely get it.
You go first, Jacoby. I'll take all of them.
I'll show you how to sign up. I'll drink a gallon
of that stuff right now.
We can take this pod right now and send it to all of the eligible people, the link to how to sign up to get vaccinated. I'll take you right to the well.
In New Jersey, you can set an appointment, because right now I'm not eligible because I'm not an essential worker. I talk about sports with Jalen Rose. But in New Jersey, you can set an appointment because they're like, hey, come in April 8th. Like one of my homegirls we work with has an appointment for April 8th. And I was trying to do that in New York, but New York's like, nah, duh. Like, no, like we're not doing appointments. And then you check all the things. They have a checklist you go through. They're like, or do you work in a hospital or do you work in any extended living? And I'm checking all these. I'm thinking, no, I really want to lie on one of these, but nope, I can't lie on this. Nope. And at the end,
you
failed.
Can't lie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I wanted
lie.
To. Judge me on what I do, not what I consider doing. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, you can't lie on those. But you can't lie on that stuff. You get yourself in some trouble lying on that stuff. But make sure everybody get vaccinated.
You getting vaccinated?
I ain't eligible.
But okay. We'll see. When you are eligible, we'll have this conversation. I'm getting vaccinated. I'm first in line. I am first in line for all the vaccinations.
I can't front. It warmed my heart to see so many people cheer and feel secure that they got vaccinated. I've seen multiple members of my family who are eligible that have been vaccinated, and they're really excited. But I'm sad to acknowledge also that there have been some horror stories that people can see online and stuff like that of people that didn't necessarily go right. So, again, we're trying to figure this thing out. And, you know,
there's horror stories of people eating chicken wings, too. There's horror stories of people eating chicken wings, too. So there's horror stories about everything, you know. Don't live scared. Jalen, I want to talk to you about Detroit.
Okay.
And Blake Griffin.
Okay.
He got down at halftime yesterday, so he ripped his shirt. He was kicked a chair, and he was really mad. And my question for you is, what did Blake Griffin expect from this year from the Pistons? You know what I mean? Like, is he surprised they're down at halftime? Like, do you think they were making a run at the, you know, hosting the playoff series? Like, what was happening?
Okay, I got an unrealistic trade that I'm going to throw out there.
Oh.
For two different people who are in the same situations, who are handling it equally, and this will give you a sense of how I felt about Blake being upset about the team struggling.
Okay.
Why don't we just trade him for Bradley Beal? Can we do that?
Why don't you trade him for LeBron? You're such a fan. Like, you're such an objective analyst when it comes to every other uniform. But now you're like, Blake Griffin for Bradley Beal. Who says no? Bradley Beal's leading the league in scoring. Blake Griffin's leading the league in ripping his shirt in half. He leads the league in scoring. That's why you can't do that. That's why you can't do that. You're like, yo, we'll throw in Wayne Ellington.
Who leading the league in three-point shooting, depending on what day it is? How about this? I got something for you.
Okay.
As a diehard, deep-in-the-box score Pistons fan, I'm the only researcher or multimedia person that knows this very important Blake Griffin stat.
Okay.
He has not dunked a basketball in an NBA game in 13 months.
No. How many games is that? Because he didn't really play last year. And there was the bubble. So I'm guessing that's like 35 games. Wow.
Around 400 plus people have done dunks since then.
Wow.
Do you know how impossible that is?
I saw Dame dunk last night. Did you
Correct.
See that one when he palmed the ball
yeah,
with one hand?
That's what I'm saying. Do you know?
Dame's
how
like 6 feet.
Somebody can just get a loose ball and throw it off somebody's shoulder and it fall to you and get a dunk. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you play up front. Oh, and by the way, you used to be a high flyer jumping over cars. Now, he's hanging out at the three line. I squinted and looked at the TV. I'm like, is that Klay Thompson? Is he back?
He's looking for assists now. He's looking for someone to make a cut. Like, if you give him the ball and you're waiting for him to do something, you know, just standing around, he's looking at you like, nah, dog, like, I don't do things anymore. You do something and I make a nice pass. That's how it works.
And you know who else? I was sitting around playing with my toes, thinking that we was developing a young talent in Christian Wood, and then we lose him? Dog. I was pulling toenails last year watching Woods play. I'm like, oh, we got something now. Yeah, man, I'm the only person in the, their parents ain't even watching this game. We down 30, 2 minutes to go in the game. He was out there. Lose him. How about
do
this?
You think, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Pelicans could use someone like Christian Wood?
Absolutely.
They dropped him last year. Do you think that the Milwaukee Bucks could use someone like Christian Wood?
Absolutely.
They waived him. They waived him. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Just waived him. Just said, no, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming out. You can keep your team-issued gear, but yeah, we're good.
No. And so when I'm watching League Pass, it hurts my heart, dog. When I see Chris Middleton making all-star teams, Tobias Harris dunking on people, Mook Morris balling with the Clippers. Like, these are recent Detroit Pistons.
Kennard, I know you don't miss Jackson, though.
No.
They didn't miss him too much in Oklahoma City when he left there either.
No, but we decided to give him. So you, John Wall gets a big deal with Washington, and we decide we're going to get Reggie Jackson
from the Thunder. I love this man as a personality, as a media member, as a Twitter follow, even as a head coach. But when people look back at Stan Van Gundy's career, no one's going to be like, you know, when he was in Detroit, he really made some great moves. I love him. He's been on the show. Like, he's an activist. He's a great hang. But some of the things he did when he was with the Pistons is just kind of head scratchy. Let's just say that.
Stanley Johnson was a first round pick instead of Devin Booker.
Stanley Johnson looked good for like 6 months. Like that first half of the first year is like, oh yeah. Then he had, remember he had this, like, he was trying to stop LeBron in that first, that I think it was an 8-1 playoff matchup. Like, we got the answer for LeBron James.
LeBron stopper. New era Ruben Patterson.
Yeah. You know who was the only legit LeBron stopper I saw in the playoffs? Boris Diaw. I know you know what I'm talking about. Boris Diaw on the Spurs gave LeBron problems. He really did.
Well, let me tell you why he was able to. First, he's smart, and his size, LeBron can't just back him down easy, and he got perimeter skills. But this is when LeBron wasn't a knockdown shooter. Mm-hmm. So now you can play off of him. You can play off of him then.
Absolutely.
He wouldn't have a shot.
No. And it's funny how the game works. It's funny how the game works, because when his second year with the Heat, everyone's like, LeBron needs a post-up game. LeBron needs a post-up game. We got to post LeBron up. He needs to go see Hakeem Olajuwon. He's going to post up now. No one's saying that now. Now no one posts up anybody anymore. And I'm
sorry.
Well,
he got a go-to shot, a turnaround jumper. You just need a pet shot. You need a pet shot. That's what Giannis doesn't have. He don't have a pet shot.
Yeah, I guess not. People aren't talking about the Bucks that much this year. You notice that? So much talk about the Sixers and the Nets and the Celtics. And
I'm gonna tell you what that is.
For the Bucks. That might be good for the Bucks. Go ahead.
I'm gonna tell you what that is. That's when you go from dating to the friend zone in sports. It's when we've seen your team perform really well in the regular season. Phoenix Suns, who didn't make it to the finals, for example. And then at some point, it's like, all right, we're going to see if they can get there. And when they don't get there, we judge them playoffs or bust. And that's where they're at right now. Playoffs or bust.
They can go 72-0, and NBA fans,
correct,
myself included, would still be like, I need to see more. It's like they won 72 straight games, broke all these records, be like, I don't know, I need to see him win a 7-game series. I haven't seen it yet. I need to see him win a series. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what it is. But I think that might be good for them, because when they're the number one seed and they've got all the expectations and the pressure, I think that doesn't go well for them. So hopefully, for Bucks fans, this will be better. Because on paper, they're a better team than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their roster looks better than it did last year, I'll tell you that much. Just ho-hum, I'm watching NBA basketball yesterday, and I see Dame Lillard hit a three and then go past his man on the baseline and then dunk on the help defender and then hit another three and then look at his watch. And this is just after a weekend in which he hit two game-winning shots against the Bulls. It was basically two game-winning shots in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's really Dame time.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But after a tough loss to the Bucks, Dame Lillard had this to say: "We play like we did tonight. We are not a championship team." What do you think about that quote?
True story. And the way we appreciate Dame's offensive prowess and Kyrie and Steph Curry's, Kyrie Irving is garnering our respect for that same appreciation of a guard that you're not anticipating that's going to necessarily get you 10 assists.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guard that's there to get you 30 to 35 points. That's what Dame does. He's right about, you know, the way they perform won't make them a contending team. They've also, other than Dame, have fallen indirectly into the Bucks category. Because remember, the Portland Trailblazers, while they made it to the Western Conference Finals once in these last couple of years, I believe two or three of the times they lost finally in the playoffs, they actually got swept. So when it goes really bad.
They got swept 3 years in a row, I want to say, in their final series?
Yes. And so they need Nurkic to play well.
They really do.
To me, he's always a barometer to me. I know what I'm going to get from the mama's boys. I know Melo can sneak and get me some buckets. I know they got some nice wings.
Gary Trent
come in and play D and make threes. Yeah. But they don't have balance. And Nurkic is like, you look down every now and then, it's like 25 and 17 and 11. And then you look up, it's 3-4-0.
Watch for this, Jay. He's not going to score anymore. Every single time he goes up the floor, he's going to start getting Gary Trent Jr. shots so he can trade him for Draymond. That's really what this is about. The rumors of Draymond to Portland, I don't know where they started, but they're gaining steam.
I got you. And let me tell you where they started?
It's perfect.
Let me tell you where they started? Let me tell you where they started. Dame and CJ be tampering. That's where it started. Dame been talking about it for a year. And for those that don't know, his hometown is Oakland. So he always uses, and he just did it recently, the opportunity when he talks about the Warriors to highlight while Draymond is so very important to getting Steph shots. That's all he ever talks about.
I hope so, because Draymond, I believe it was 36 minutes he played yesterday against the Celtics. 2 points. Do you know what that is? That's David Jacoby performance right there. That's David. That's me in rec league. My rec league average last season was like 3.5 points. Like, but that's hard to do. 2 points in 30 over 30 minutes. That's hard to do. But you notice something about Steph Curry and his production about his his starting five mates.
Well, here's something that's not good for the fortunes of your basketball team. When one of the five individuals start the game, scores as many or more points as the other four. I don't care where y'all playing at, that's not good. That is not good. And Bradley Beal has been in that position less times this year than Steph Curry. So that means, yes, you see Wiggins averaging, in the teens, and Wiseman also averaging in the teens. But that's why it's an average. And see, that's why I would rather have a guy that I know is going to give me 15 every night versus a guy that's going to give me 20 one night and 5 the next night. And that's been the problem with Wiggins. Wiseman, he's just fine. He's just fine. He's gonna be a really good player for a long time. He's just fine. Let him rock. And so for Steph, I'm glad that he embraced volume, understanding that his minutes would need to be up, his shots would need to be up, and his team would need him to actually play every night if they was gonna even be in the game. And that's what we're seeing. Him play like the best point guard in the game again.
What do you think about Lonzo Ball for Kelly Oubre?
Lonzo Ball for Kelly Oubre, who says no? I love Kelly Oubre on the Pelicans. He get to the Pelicans, they're gonna start getting an identity. I like a lot of things about Lonzo Ball. The improved thing about Lonzo Ball that people sleep on is he making threes now.
He had a bad
bubble.
He had
a career high of 7 3-pointers made recently.
Yes.
And the one thing that he needs, I would like his motor to improve. I would like to see him play with more enthusiasm. And it not because it's his personality, it's because it's his position and disposition. When you tall and you got the ball, people got to see energy. And if you look, let me say one more point. And if you look at him, and you look at Brandon Ingram, and you look at Zion, they all quiet as a church mouse. Good players.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding talents. Brandon Ingram, all-star, 25-point scorer, easy. Zion Bull in the China shop. They all quiet, though. You infuse somebody like Kelly Oubre, he gonna stir the pot. And you know where he from? New Orleans. His hometown.
Huh.
Yeah, I do this for a living.
Huh.
Absolutely.
Well, I just want to make one point. Would you rather have Anthony Edwards or LaMelo Ball?
I didn't hear even the first name because I was looking down at my phone. I just heard LaMelo Ball, and that's the answer.
I said so many times, whoever passes on LaMelo Ball is going to regret it. And I'd rather have LaMelo Ball than Wiseman. Maybe in 3 years that might switch, but I love LaMelo Ball game so much.
It's about time for me to get Nephew back on the show. It's about time for me to get him back on the show.
They didn't want to start him so bad. They really didn't want to start him. They really didn't want to start him, but they had to. I love LaMelo Ball so much. Let's bring him back.
Nephew won. He won Rookie of the Month.
Deserved it.
He sure did. He's balling.
Long month, too, because they combined December and January. We got time for a voicemail. Don't forget, push pause in the pod right now. Rate us and review us on Apple. I'm telling you, just please do it. I know it's annoying. I had to do it for my own podcast. I was like, you know what? Let me just rate us and review us my own pod. Just do it, please. And then when you're done with that, call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show just like this.
Jalen Jacoby, what up, though? Love the show. Huge supporter. Shout out Red the Ledge. Now, I got a question for you, okay? So, I keep snacks hidden in my nightstand, okay, away from my wife. My wife don't know about these snacks. So, I want to ask you, okay, boss move or soft move, hiding snacks from the wife. Give the people what they want.
Wow.
Controversy.
Controversy. Didn't say what city he's from.
Controversy.
Didn't say his name. He didn't want to put a name on this one.
Controversy.
So in my bedroom, we've got one nightstand apiece. Each one has a drawer. So I'm imagining that this man has a snack stockpile
controversy.
In his drawer that he hides from his wife. Wow. Jalen, soft move or boss move?
David Jacoby, there are certain sacrifices each person in a relationship has to make the relationship tick. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example that most people, in particular men, will appreciate. When your mate counts your drinks.
Oh, you look at it. I don't think he's trying to hide snacks from his wife because he doesn't want her to be unhealthy. I think he's hiding them because he wants them all to himself. That's the vibe I got.
Got it.
He's not trying to limit her snack intake. He just doesn't want her to get up in his snacks.
Well, I have a couple follow-up questions, and please call back and answer these because it's important to me. why don't you want her to eat the snacks?
Wants them to himself.
Is it because you want her to be healthy? You didn't say your name or where you're from, so I just need to ask a follow-up question. Is it a weight issue? Why are you eligible to eat the snacks and she isn't?
She's ineligible.
Well, right, Jacoby?
I'm assuming that it is because he wants them to himself. That's why they're hidden snacks. And a couple things. Number one, sounds like you're eating in bed, which I don't really rock with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's on your, like, I don't think you're getting out of bed.
Me either.
I don't really rock with eating in bed. Like, you could have gummy bears in bed, I suppose. But, like, if it's anything crunchy or crackery or chippy, no, no. No, no. I'm not lying down in your crumbs. No, no. But, Jalen, I have to take you behind the curtain to the Jacoby household, something that I've been dealing with for 18 years. I've been with my wife.
The queen, Joa.
She's a sleep snacker. So she'll wake up in the middle of the night in this like dream state, but like not asleep, but not asleep. And she'll go to the kitchen, snack, and then come back. Sleep snacker.
Wow. Hit the brakes.
Yes. Did it last night, 2 a.m. Sleep snacks. How should I handle this, Jalen?
I just heard some breaking news. Reg the Ledge says he also does this. Breaking
sleep
news
snackers.
For the pod.
What do we do with our listeners. Sleep snacking
oh
brethren out here?
Oh my goodness.
Our sleep snackers.
Here's what that is.
I've never done this in my life.
I'm one of those people, and I realize most people are, that I can't be in the kitchen too long without just opening up the refrigerator. It's just like muscle memory.
Oh yeah, pandemic? It's just nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You're stuck in the house. There's just nothing else to do. I don't snack at work.
I'm opening up the refrigerator like 50 times a day.
Yes. Yes, you know I know what's in there. I'm not gonna open up and all of a sudden there's a tiramisu
thing.
That just came out
Correct.
Of nowhere.
And the same thing that was in there 10 minutes ago is still in there.
Who roasted this chicken? Yeah, exactly.
I could have grabbed whatever I wanted then. And for some strange reason, I keep coming back to open the refrigerator.
That's
but
pandemic
here's the
too,
thing,
man.
Though. But not once too. I go to sleep, that's it.
That's over. I'm not snacking in the middle of sleep.
That's
and here's
it.
Another thing about my wife, not a morning person. Very mean. Very mean in the first, like, the first 45 minutes of her being conscious, she's very mean. So if I try to in any way address her while she is sleep snacking, I get yelled at. It happened last night. She gets up to sleep snack, 2:30 in the morning. She's in there for like a long time. You know what I mean? In the kitchen for a long time. I say, Joey. Joey, start with Joa. Joa. So I'm saying it this loud. This is how loud I'm saying it. Joa, right? All of a sudden, remember, we got 3 sleeping kids in the home. All of a sudden, I hear, why are you yelling? No, I'm not. I'm not yelling. I'm just saying your name. I mean, you're not next to me. You're in another room. So I'm saying it loud
you know
enough
what
so
happens
can hear me
if you
room.
Get jammed up? Don't mention
and
my
she,
name.
And she yells as loud as she can, why are you yelling?
Don't wake up those kids. I'm sleep snacking. This is my me time. Here's the other thing, though. All of us need our me time. This, to me, sounds like a wife who has a husband, 3 kids running around all day. That once I get up in the middle of the night, that like 1 or 2 to like 6 a.m. period, like I kind of don't have to deal with y'all. That's what this sounds like.
That's a great theory. That's a great theory, but you're forgetting the fact that she's like kind of unconscious. Like she's not, like she doesn't answer questions appropriately. You know what I mean?
Nah, that because she's tuning you out. You're missing the whole point. This is her me time.
No,
I'm about
not.
To go get something to eat. You hear the microwave going at 3 a.m. You
one time I was like, Joey, what are you doing? She goes, Fabiola and her whole team are listening right now. That's what she said to me. And she's like, you know, just like sleepwalking. I'm just like, oh, so Fabiola and her whole time. First of all, I have no idea who Fabiola is. Never heard that name in my life. She's like, Fabiola. And she looks at the kitchen table like there's like they're sitting there. Fabiola and her whole team are listening right now. Like I'm mad that I'm addressing her because Fabiola and her team are there. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you for calling. unidentified caller who hides snacks from... It's a soft move, dog. Don't hide anything from your wife. That's why you married her. Don't hide anything from her, dog. And don't
but
eat
he may not. He might not want her to eat, though. It may be something too behind that. We got to check.
No.
We got to see.
If it's a health thing, then you don't address it in that way. You address it straight on. Don't hide things. I hide all kinds of snacks from my kids, though. All kinds of snacks. top shelf liquor. We got top shelf snacks. They can't even see
the
top
move.
Shelf of the pantry. That's where all the good stuff is. All of it.
Yeah, that's the vet move.
Appreciate you as always, Jalen Rose. Appreciate Jared Allen for coming through. We have a special guest tomorrow. Not even gonna tell you who that is, but we will be back then. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We appreciate the support. We are not done.